Run the track!
Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes. You can email Christy and I and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to Foster the Podcast, episode 189 of the show. I'm your host, Justin Foster. My co-host, Michael Malone.
Hello.
Is here, Michael
hello,
Malone. Hello. And our guest this week, the very funny Jay Hollingsworth. Is
hello.
Here. What's up, Jay?
Oh, not much. Oh, sorry. Fuck, I got to move this
Jay's
mic.
Jay's coming here changing shit around, man. I've been officially moved to permanent co-host.
Yeah.
And Ivan's going to get a microphone. We're changing everything.
Yeah.
Jay came in here just...
Is this your first one?
No.
But it's official now?
Yeah, you just... I was saying you came in here and started making changes.
This guy needs a chair.
Yeah, yeah.
He needs an office.
The lighting. Can we get some AC in here?
Why does the sound guy not have a mic? Yeah. Ivan, of course, on sound, making us sound awesome. You just got back from the road. You were in Seattle?
I was in Sacramento at Laughs Unlimited. Shout out to Jen at Laughs Unlimited. I love them. And then I was at Tacoma Comedy Club, Tacoma, Washington, then Parlor Live in Bellevue. And then I came back. I drove up there because I drove to Sac. And
you
then
drove?
I kept going. Yeah, because wow. I knew I was going to be up there for a while. And I used to live up in Washington, so I wanted to have my car. So I was like, I'll drive it. And then when I got back, I was like, yeah, I just want to fly to places.
Never again.
Yeah. But I keep doing it. This is probably like my fifth time doing that, driving up and back. But
Really?
Yeah.
I did it from Texas, and I was like, yeah.
How long is that?
22.
Yeah, Seattle, or here to Seattle is like, I think 18 hours.
Uh-huh.
But one time I did it straight. Did you do it straight?
No, never.
I did it one time.
Stop at like some shitty Motel 6 in Albuquerque.
So going up there, I drove from here to Sac, did my weekend in Sac. Then I drove from Sac to Portland and crashed at my pops, who lives in Portland, overnight. And then I went up to Seattle. On the way back, I kind of did the same. I went from Seattle to Portland, crashed my dad, then Portland. And then I hit up Jen at Laughs Unlimited. And because this was like on a Monday, I was like, Jen, I'm fucking loopy right now. Can I crash at the comedy condo? And she was like, yeah, that's fine. Nobody's in there. Yeah, they're the best. So I crashed there in Sac and then drove back. But I did drive up there one time straight. And when I got up there, I think I left at like 5 in the morning from here.
Right, yeah.
And got up there at like 11:30 at night or something. And I just... like I was like loopy, like I've never done mushrooms or anything, but I was like I don't like I just was sitting in my buddy's chair. He's looking at me. He's like, "You all right?" I go, "I don't know,
right?
I just don't know.
What day is it?"
Yeah,
you don't drive anywhere, do you? You fly everywhere, right?
Yeah, I fly everywhere now. Yeah, I used to when I lived in Ohio, man. I drove everywhere. I drove to Florida, New York. Mm. I mean, anywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah, from the Midwest. Yeah.
Where'd you start, Mike?
In Ohio, in Columbus.
Oh, okay.
So yes, and I lived in
Funny Bone.
Yeah, I lived in Indianapolis for a while, and that was great too because you had all these A-plus rooms within a five-hour drive,
yeah.
You know? You Cleveland and Dayton, Ohio, and all these great places. And even New York was only 9 hours, so it was like, fuck it.
what was your home club back in Ohio? Was it the Funny Bone?
Well, yeah, the Funny Bone there in Columbus was, but then I moved to Indianapolis, and Morty's really embraced me there. I love Morty's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's more of, I think, my schooling there.
that's the one with the... Bowers?
Yeah.
Peter Bowers.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
He's legendary.
I did Morty's with Frangiola, Chris Frangiola, and like we all went out afterwards or whatever, and Bowers was just hammered, right? So he was talking about his jokes, like he was, you know, however he comes up with jokes or whatever, but he was like,
right.
He's like, you know, I come up with the premise, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, and then he says, quote, he goes, and then I put a little Bowers on it. And so for the whole weekend, that was me and Frangiola's thing. I was like, Chris, I like that joke, but you need to put a little Bowers on it. Yeah. I crashed at his place when I was out there.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy. Yeah, that, yeah. I mean, it's a fraternity there. Yeah. I mean,
is that where I stayed when I was there?
Yeah. I mean, they party.
You stay downstairs?
He's down downstairs with the Simpsons toys.
And there's like a bed here and a bed here. I stayed there with Mitch Burrow. And then me and Mitch did a college. Mitch. Yeah. We did a college together. And Mitch, it was brutal. Mitch, wore a blazer to this college gig. I go, dude, they're going to think you're like a counselor here.
Right.
What
are
you doing?
Handing out detentions.
Yeah. So dumb.
What happened to your arm?
Mitch.
Huh?
Me and fucking Mitch, we were at the movies and he pinched me with his fucking Wolverine claws and he cut my arm. And so it's just,
You guys seen a scary movie and he grabbed your arm too tight?
I was
see Madea's move?
Yeah. So I bit his dick when I was blowing him. No, I was fucking with him. And then he finally snapped and just dug his nails into me. And so I tweeted out a picture of it and said it was unprovoked.
That's hilarious. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, yeah, when you drove to Texas, because when I got back from, I went up there for I was gone for 3 weeks, came back.
Uh-huh.
And then I was here for a Wednesday. And then the next day I had to go down to Madhouse for the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got back this last Sunday and I literally did nothing.
Right.
I didn't take calls. I didn't return texts. I was like, I need to recharge. Is that how you get when you...
Yeah, but I usually take 3 days. Because the thing about driving from Texas to California is there's nothing.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's two of the biggest states and there's just nothing. And so by the time I get, it seems like the last hour and a half too takes the longest. Because you're coming through the Glendale, Pasadena, Eagle Rock area. And for some reason, there's always traffic, no matter what. After a long road trip, there's always at least an hour and a half added onto my trip.
Oh.
And so then when I get back, then I just turn off for a couple of days.
Oh, dude, that's it. I drove through Texas. I lived in Sacramento for a while when I worked for Verizon. And then I transferred to Tampa.
Uh-huh.
And so I drove through Texas. And I remember that. It was just miles and miles and miles of just desert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to do it again soon. I actually have to go and officiate a wedding next week. And I haven't started on it at all, by the way. It's one of those things. You're like, oh, yeah, I need to start writing that officiant speech. And I'll do it tomorrow. And then it's I got a week left.
Wow.
I think that's how most comics are, though.
Yeah. The most important day of two people's lives. I'll figure it out.
I'll riff.
Yeah.
Dude, I was telling... I think it might have been Mitch, but I started thinking about being in high school and stuff. And I'm not saying this for comedic effect, but I literally don't think through school at any point I ever read a book cover to cover.
Right. Yeah,
no, I never did. I was always the kid with the hall pass. I was always the kid you saw walking by. How the fuck did he get out of class? I never read a book. I didn't
give
a shit about studies. I'd look for Cliff Notes. Remember Cliff Notes?
I just looked for a guy named Cliff. He was
looking for his notes.
Hey, can I see your notes?
Can I see that real quick? Thanks, buddy.
I just didn't do it. I just didn't. I would always guess. I would try to do patterns like CBD. Well,
you were busy cutting and stuff,
right? Yeah, I was not a cutter.
Cutting.
Crying on my term paper. No, I just
I
didn't.
Was I was cutting class. You were cutting other things. Dressed like the crow.
Turned it in my English report with this black mascara on it. I didn't. I just didn't. I was so bad in math. I was so I took all the remedial math classes that I would just go in and the bell would ring and I would just put my head down and I would just sleep the entire time. And I guess legally they still had to give me my test. So he would shove the tests under my crumpled arms.
Wakes you up. Hey, here's a pillow for you.
Today? No? Okay.
Did you guys both get, I wonder if all comics got this. I always got on my reports, so much potential.
Yes!
There's always so much potential. Yeah.
So much potential.
They would always circle the paragraph and be should have closed with this. And I'm oh, man.
That's going to be the name of my album.
Yeah, it's great.
But it'll never come out.
But there's the potential for it.
Yeah, exactly. Did you get in trouble in school? Were you a troublemaker?
Yeah, I used to. I counted it one time. I think I went to 18 different schools growing up.
Oh,
okay,
shit. Military?
No, everybody always asks. Because I lived in Portland, Seattle, Sacramento, Tampa, Boston. But I went back and forth to Seattle and Portland. My mom used to threaten to put me up for adoption or award me to the court. And it was it would be for like, you didn't vacuum the living room, I'm going to put you up for adoption. Right. Like shit like that. And so
we were like, I think she can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so I lived with my grandparents a lot, and I'm like, my
pops. Oh, so she did it.
Well, it was like, yeah, go with your grandparents or you might get a ward of the court. And then I remember I lived with my dad like the second half of high school, and I remember fucking him. My dad was a longshoreman.
Oh, okay.
Well, he played pro football then. When I was alive, he was a longshoreman. And I remember him coming home one day, like in the middle of the day, and me and my buddy Matt are just playing Madden. And he just walks in my room and he's like, what the fuck are you dipshits doing? And so he got me to be able to graduate. It took me 5 years, but I graduated. I was a 5-year student.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I transferred like in the middle of 1 year from when I was living with my mom. And then I don't remember even what it was, but I remember one time me and my dad were getting into it, and he was a big dude. He fucking picked me up by my neck and slammed me on the bed, and held me down by, excuse me, by my neck. Still have problems with it. No, but he goes, I just remember him saying, he's like, look, you got three options. You're either going to do what I say, we're going to award you the court, or we're going to go fucking heads up right now. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, I was like, so what do you need me to do? You know, just fucking whatever you need, sir.
Oh, God. And you're not a small dude.
No, but my dad, like, and this was, I was a lot slimmer then, but yeah, my dad's 6'4", 250. And,
oh, wow.
And you know, I mean, he was a split end for the Pats way back in, 61 or 62, and then a longshoreman. So he's just fucking,
yeah.
You know, he has man hands and,
right.
You know,
he's just like a tree.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
My question is this, is when you, now that you're older and stuff like that, do you find yourself wanting to learn more? Are you going back and like reading more? Are you interested in that?
Nah. I don't know. Like I'll get books on tape and shit, especially right, when I'm driving.
Driving to Seattle.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's like I feel myself. I wonder if you guys feel this too. Like just with technology and everything, I have that ADD shit.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I could start reading a book and then I'll just be like, ah, let me see what's on Facebook. And then, what's going on on Twitter? And then, oh, here's an article. Let me read that. And so fuck, man. I just, it's like I need to be like in a car where I can't move, but then I can't read while I'm driving, right, you know? So I'll just,
right.
I don't really, I mean, I'll learn from, you know, I like a lot of docs on Netflix.
Right. Yeah.
Documentaries.
That's where you get all the facts.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't really, I read comics when I was growing up. I was a huge comic book fan, but I never, just reading.
Right. Yeah.
What am I, nerd? Yeah, just a reader.
That's my problem. If there's something that I have to do, like write an efficient speech for my friend's wedding, like that's when I'm like looking at, okay, I'll start writing it, and then I'll look at the BuzzFeed articles. Yeah. Or I've never cared more about a debate in my entire life than when I have to write an efficient speech or, celebrity shit.
Like today I woke up, I was like, oh, shit, there's the trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right.
That looks awesome. Oh, look, there's a trailer for the new Logan movie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, you know, and then there's, here's an article, we're about to go to war with Russia. Ah, fuck all that. Right. Let me see any more new trailers.
Right, and then 2 hours have gone by.
Yes.
2 hours later, you're dead.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is why I'm fucking not on Comedy Central's watch list. Right. Oh, God. But, yeah, I don't know.
How is it going home and doing shows?
It's great. It's, so Parlor Live, I was the house MC for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And so that's, it's always cool going back. Like, when I was at Madhouse, it was crazy. There was a guy there that had seen me in Billings. And then at another show, there was a guy that knew me from Bellevue,
oh,
Washington.
Wow.
And, he was like, dude, I just was walking out to go get like some merch. And, he was like, Jay? And I was like, yeah, what's up? And he goes, dude, I know you from Bellevue. And I was like, oh shit, that's crazy. And, but it's great going up there. Tacoma Comedy Club. I love that place. And, like it's that and Spokane Comic Club are so awesome. And then Parlor Live, it's cool to go back because people always knew me as the host there. And so I've been gone now 2.5 years and now I'm featuring there. I come up and feature because it's A room, so I have no credits. So
right.
I have to feature. But I mean, it was cool. I worked with Brian Callen.
Okay.
It was awesome. Yeah. And it was a good weekend. Got to see my friends and stuff. You know?
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And welcome now you're back here in fucking Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Doing the deal again.
Yeah, back on the grind.
It's so hard, like going on the road and like doing like time all the time, and then coming back here, and it's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
And you're like, and it's like, You do A rooms, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like if we're headlining, B rooms, me and Justin, or right. we're featuring at A rooms, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, like, or I'll feature at a, or I mean, or I'll headline at an A room on an off night, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But it's like you go out, you know, like this has been a nice little month long run where I'm doing this and you're like, yeah, you're like, yeah, I'm supporting myself doing what I love. Great. And then you just see your account slowly dwindling right. down. All right, got to pay rent, car, this and that. Like, all right, well, fucking this next month's going to, it comes in waves, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing with, that's the thing with comedy. There was a point where I was living in Indiana and I had $100 to my name. And it was like, well, after this is gone, I don't know what the fuck.
Right, then
happens.
What do you do?
Like, it's either I got to find a bar show or something to do. Like,
I live off of, the only thing that stops me from putting a gun in my mouth
is you can't afford the bullets.
Not fucking suicidal. Yeah. But I, like, you know, the thing that keeps me going is like the stories of like that, like where people were at their like last leg. Like I just watched, speaking of documentaries, have you seen the documentary about Charles Bradley?
No.
Dude, this guy I think it's on Netflix. Sorry. it's on Netflix or Amazon. My buddy told me about it. This guy, he's 65 or whatever, right? And his whole life, he was like from when he was like 15, he was a James Brown impersonator. Sounds just like him, right? And at 60, I think it was like 65, he just saw an ad in a paper that said looking for singers. So he just, not thinking anything. And this guy, he's like lived, you know, check to check barely. He lives in like shit, you know, and he just goes into this guy and he's like, yeah, I saw you guys are looking for singers. And the guy's looking at this 65-year-old old black dude and is just kind of like, all right, well, let's see what you got. And the guy's voice is fucking dope, right? So he goes, I think I got somebody I can pair you with. So he pairs him with this group, and they're like, we're going to record an album. They start putting these songs together. The day he comes in to record the first song, he's dressed in his James Brown impersonation stuff, wig and everything.
Uh-huh.
And the guys look at him, and they're like, Charles, we want you. We don't want James Brown. And he didn't know how to...
Yeah.
And so... he did this album, and it was, I think in 2015, it was the best-selling independent labeled album out there. And the guy is fucking dope.
Oh,
he's
wow.
so good. Yeah, he's amazing. Like, I was listening to it on my way over here.
Really?
Charles Bradley. I think it's like Made in America or something like that.
Okay.
But they were
at 65, we may not be poor.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, dude, you know, like, how old are you?
I'm 36.
Yeah, I'm 45, and I'm like, fuck, man. Jesus Christ, dude. You know, and they're, I mean, I've heard all these stories. I remember Patrice O'Neill always talked about Chaz Palantonio, what's his name? You guys seen the movie A Bronx Tale?
Yeah.
The guy that plays the mob boss, Chaz Palminteri I can't remember his name. But anyways, this guy had wrote this script for A Bronx Tale, and he was pitching it around. He was just like a bit actor, right?
Yeah.
Up until this point, pitching around everywhere, and everybody was showing interest in it, and they're like, we want to buy it. And he's like, cool, all I want is I just want to play the mob boss. And they're like, nah, we would recast it. And he's like, well, fuck, I can't sell it. And I guess he was at a meeting in a restaurant, and they were offering him like this crazy money. And he was like, he goes, let me take a second. He went into the bathroom, and he's looking in the mirror, I guess, and he was just like, my wife, you know, I need this money. But he's like, I want to play this fucking role. So he turned it down, not knowing anything. And then Robert De Niro saw it and saw the script. And Robert De Niro's like, all right, I want to make the movie. And then Chaz was like, oh, fuck. He goes, all right, can I play the mob boss? And De Niro's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. I'll play the bus driver. And so that blew. And then from there, he blew up. And that movie's fucking awesome.
Wow.
But, you know, I just hang on to those stories waiting for mine.
Right.
You know, as I live off credit cards. And fucking, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, the people don't see that side of comedy, those low points, you know, when you're sleeping in your car in a Walmart parking lot. You know, they don't understand that side of it. They think you just, you know, you just, and a lot of times they don't see the work that you put into the material and the show that goes together. They just imagine you wake up and you go on stage and you drink beer and tell dirty jokes for an hour and then you just get on a yacht and fly away.
Right. Yeah.
Like, no, it's not like that.
It's like I had to muscle my way onto a show at Hooters last night.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to beg for 5 minutes in a Hooters attic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and if you like take pride in your comedy, like the how frustrating it can be where you're like, I don't want just this cheap shit, this easy laughs, you know.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, I know I could I could say this joke and it'll crush, and but nobody will fucking remember it. Nobody will give a fuck afterwards. I'm like, am I trying to say, you know, it's just so frustrating, you know. You're always, you know, trying to work on shit. And like up until January, I was living in a 2-bedroom apartment with 2 other comics, and I lived in the living room.
Right, yeah.
You know, growing up, you're never like, oh, I hope when I'm 45 that I'm fucking living in a living room with 2 other guys, you know.
And now you just got 1 other roommate.
2.
Oh, okay.
But I'm in
you got a room now, right?
Yeah, we live in Hawthorne right by LAX, but we got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2 parking spots, $1,500 a month, and it's huge.
Oh shit, that's great.
That's awesome.
It's funny, I tell people, I'll be like, we're in Hawthorne, and people are like, ugh. And I'm like, yeah, we pay $1,500, and they're like, oh. Yeah. It's fucking, yeah, it's huge, it's ridiculous.
Right by the airport for the flights you don't take.
Exactly, yeah. I can go pick up my fucking A-list comic friends that are flying everywhere. Yeah. I probably sound really bitter on this fucking thing.
I feel like what did you do this week? I ran a 5K this
weekend. Oh yeah, I saw that.
I ran my first 5K
you
this
piece
weekend.
Of shit. This fucking guy goes apple picking last time I see him. Now he's running 5K marathons. Who are you?
If you would have told me 3 years ago that I would have spent my Sunday running a 5K and apple picking, I'm like, well.
If you would have told me 3 weeks ago, Justin Foster might be doing these things.
I don't know how long. This is how fucking dumb I am, Jay. This is how dumb I'm in the public restroom. I'm talking to my buddy like a week before, right? So I'm in this stall. He's in this stall. Not stall, a urinal. I'm in this urinal. He's in this urinal. There's a stranger to the left of me, right? This is how fucking dumb I am. I go, yeah, I'm running a 5K on Sunday. And my buddy goes, oh, how far is that?
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know. I go, I know it's a 5K. And then the guy next to me goes, ah, oh, 5 kilometers, huh? And I just go, yeah, buddy, I wish. He's like, no, that's literally what it is.
Yeah, I wish.
What would have been great is if he was like, yeah, 5 kilometers. And you're like, yeah, I wish. And then you nudge your buddy and you're like, yeah, this fucking idiot. Listen to this dipshit over here.
Do you know what a 5K is? Yeah.
Then it was cool, though.
Did you think that you were going to run 5,000 miles?
Yeah, I thought the Proclaimers were going to be playing. It was cool, though, man. I enjoyed it. My only goal was to, like, don't embarrass
Not
myself.
Not shit your pants.
Right, don't shit my pants. Don't get, like.
Did you tape your nipples?
No, I didn't do that, but they were chafed.
Really?
No.
Oh, I don't know. Fuck.
Are you supposed to tape your nipples for 5 kilometers?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Why?
I tape them just to walk back
just to do the podcast. Yeah.
I tape them to get extra money on the weekends.
But I had few rules. Don't let the kids beat me. You know, don't pull a muscle in front of my girlfriend and embarrass myself, you know?
Did I ever tell you about the time I went cliff diving?
No.
And this is just real quick. These kids, speaking of kids embarrassing you. So we're cliff diving in Tennessee. It's my first time. I've never been there. This isn't like white people shit. I've never done it before. And we're 50 feet in the air overlooking this lake. And this hillbilly family came up behind us. And this fucking 5-year-old girl was like, excuse me, excuse me. And literally shoved me out of the way and just dove off this mountain. And I'm like, well, I have to do it now. Like a 5-year-old just cut me off.
Watch out,
a 5-year-old girl was like, move. Insane, dude. Yeah, sometimes in life, you can't let the kids embarrass you.
You said one thing in there that we kind of glossed over that I think explains everything. You said you didn't want to embarrass your girlfriend.
Yeah.
So this is all girlfriend stuff.
Yes. This is 100% relationship. And I've convinced, the longer you're in a relationship, the wider you get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like brunch, apple picking, 5K. This is like 7
Trump
months.
Trump voting.
In. Yes. The year of our relationship, I'm just going to adopt Cambodian kids.
Yeah exactly.
But it was like one of those things that we were talking about with AG last week. It's like one of those things I would never picked for myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, oh, I want to run a 5K. And after you do it, you're like, I feel pretty good.
Did you do any type of prep for it?
No.
Jesus.
No.
Oh my God,
dude, I have trouble driving 5K.
It's 5 kilometers.
Yeah. It's 5,000 miles. Yeah, man.
I wish.
Yeah. So what does that equate to miles?
It's 3.1 miles.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Three miles?
Yeah, it's 3.1 miles. It sounds so much better to say 5K.
You can stop saying the point one. You're not impressing anybody.
That point one was the toughest one, though.
It's 3.1. Yeah. 3 miles. Okay, just settle down.
But there's there's kids just cruising by with capes on, you know, just so man. I'm like, oh my God, my knees are hurting after a mile, you know?
Yeah.
Some ladies got two of her kids and two strollers just, excuse me, like running past us.
Oh.
Well, that's what we were talking about, that aging thing. Mark was saying that it's not more of a relationship thing. It's more of like an aging thing. As you get older, you're like, oh, I'd like to do apple picking. That sounds relaxing and da-da-da.
Right.
And so that's what I was wondering earlier about the learning thing. As I get older, I find that, like, I had no interest in learning or school or anything like that growing up. But as I'm getting older now, I'm like, man, I wonder what this is about. Or like, I find
yeah.
my, I,
yeah.
I listen to a 30-minute NPR thing about how trees communicate. I'm like, what the, who am I? What the fuck is happening?
Dude, as you're saying that, I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting.
Right? Yeah. But if you know, again, in your 20s, you would never, you'd trees. Be like, what? Yeah. Why? Who cares?
Yeah. I think it's because you're not required to. When you're told that you have to learn stuff.
You think it's a rebellious action.
Mm. Yeah. Young, now it's like, when you're, I want to learn about trees.
Schools. Yeah. And it's also, you're getting to pick what you want to.
Yeah, I think that's more of it. Yeah, you're getting you're interested in you're picking what you're spending your time on instead of when you're being told to spend your time.
Like the one thing. Yeah, I guess to the original question, I guess I am more interested in learning, but it's more on my terms now. Like the thing I read most recently was about what's the name, Elon Musk, the guy that does Tesla. Yeah. About him and like all these other like much smarter people than me and billionaires and this and that, how they believe, do you know about this? They believe that what we're living in right now is a computer simulation.
Yeah, like, they believe that it's almost like a Westworld kind of thing that we're having happen to us.
And when did that when did that start?
It's always been a theory that's been out there, but now more like that level guys, the guys that want to go to Mars and shit. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Those guys, they're like, hey, this might actually be a thing.
Wait, but when? So it's always been a thing since the beginning of. But we didn't have computers.
Yeah, have you ever heard the Bernstein Bears theory?
No.
Oh man.
Oh, what's this?
Well, this is
that we're all Jewish bears. I always had a suspicion.
Yeah.
Yes. No. This is more conspiracy than it is science.
Oh no, I love.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
this is a fun one. Okay, so growing up, what do you remember how to pronounce that book series?
No, I told you I didn't read books.
Yeah,
the Berenstain Bears.
The Berenstain Bears.
Yeah. Berenstain Bears. Okay.
Okay. See, I learned them as the Bernstein Bears.
That's how I always thought it was Bernstein.
Bernstein Bears. Yeah. The guy's name is Bernstein, right? The newer generation, like kids younger than us, know them as the Berenstain Bears.
Okay.
And rumor has it there was some kind of shift in the universe between then and now, and something tiny had changed. You always hear that with time travel and all that stuff. Like, well, if you step on a bug or something, I swear to God, there's been some kind of shift. And it has changed little things like that.
Not like the president changes.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, how do you know it? Well, it's the Berenstain Bears. Well, it's the Berenstain Bears. And it's like if you go back through the series and stuff, it's not the Bernstein. If you could read it, it's not what you.
I guess when I was a kid, it was the Berenstain Bears.
Right.
Right.
Now it's not.
So we went back in time, I stepped on something that we shouldn't have, and now it's the Berenstain.
I don't know the whole thing, but I know that there was some kind of shift in the universe that caused these little, like a ripple effect change, and that was one of them that they have noticed throughout time. They've been like, hey, this is kind of a weird theory.
I got a bunch of these. All right, so I love conspiracy theories. When I worked at.
The Berenstain Bears are behind 9/11.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yes, the Jews.
So when I used to be an operations manager for Yahoo, and one of the techs that worked for me, this kid Josh, I think he had Asperger's, but he was so fucking like so smart. And we would go and we'd go watch movies or whatever, you know, cool little cool kid, right?
Yeah.
And he would tell me all these different theories and that he had, or conspiracy theories afterwards. One of them was about UFOs and aliens, and one of the theories is that aliens aren't actually aliens. They're humans, but they're humans in the future, and that UFOs are actually time machines, and they're coming back in time trying to correct shit.
Oh, wow. And that's interesting.
And then he had another one.
See,
and
I would buy that one.
That one I always thought was, all right, okay.
Right.
Then there was one which, and I don't, like, there was, like, there's certain names for some of these theories, like, you know, and I fucking don't remember any of them, but one of them was that he said that everything we're doing right now, it, like the universe or whatever, we've done this, we're repeating this, right? And there's a certain point it gets to where everything resets and it starts all over again. So like what we're doing right now, we've done supposedly millions of times. And he was saying supposedly the government knows at the exact point that it resets, and they're trying to break through that to where it doesn't reset.
Now, I was up until the government thing.
Yeah, I know.
I was very interested in, like, this. I call it the Truman Show theory.
Yeah. Is this where deja vu comes from?
It was like, is this a thing? That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he had all these different theories. There was one about, there was some book that was written, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but there was, like, this book that was found that's, it's, like, hundreds of years old, and it has, like, this coding in it that nobody can break the code, but it's got, like, designs and, like, all this crazy weird shit in it. And I'm sure somebody listening to this right now is like going, you dipshit, that's the...
it's the Bernstein Bears. Yeah, the whole trilogy. the whole box set is there's codes in it.
You know what you should do?
What?
Is during this podcast is when we started talking about conspiracy theories, just cut the podcast to static.
Well, I have a theory.
I have a theory about...
Yeah.
Mom up. And then,
You know about the boop theory? Yeah.
Just, people listening be like, what are they doing? Yeah. Something happened in the radio.
Well, it is crazy, like, how, I mean, you could say the government or what technology is in on everything. Like, the shit where you start saying stuff and your phone picks it up to where then you start seeing the ads on Facebook for that. Have you seen that?
Oh, I was just about to talk. Yeah, this is a real thing that's happening. I heard a whole thing on Radiolab. I don't know if you listen to Radiolab or not, but it's a phenomenal program on NPR. And what they do is they always pose a question and then they try to solve it. Like how do we see colors? Do you see them with your eyes or do you see them, you know, with your whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then they break it down as much as they can. They interview people, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so they did a big thing about how all your devices are, in fact, picking up on these things. Even when your phone's off, if you notice the conversations you're having, pop-up ads will start happening on Facebook. And Faber and I just tested this theory. We kept talking about going skiing, right? And we were like trying to talk about, like, mention skiing as much as we can on the phone call, on our text messages, Facebook Messenger, and then ski ads start coming up on your fucking Facebook and
emails,
your browsers and stuff.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so bizarre when it happens to stuff that you're not doing that for. That's when it's the bizarre thing.
Yeah, I'm getting all these ads for anal lube and I don't use that.
They're listening when they're not listening. And the phenomenal story that came out of that was this this small town police force in Dayton, Ohio, where the flight was invented. there's a big airplane place there. They're always working on new technology for flight there. Because of their history. So they came up with this system, this plane that would fly over top of a city or an area where they could surveillance it and all these cameras and stuff like that, and you'd have live access to it, and you would never see that plane. Like, it's a drone that just flies over the city. You can keep an eye on everything. So they teamed up with the police department because they were like, well, we want to use this for good, right? So the police department started working with them to track down, like, they're like, okay, this guy just did a drug deal. Where's it going?
Right.
And so they fucking looked in the drone, followed this guy back. They followed that to another guy. They hit, like, it's like a movie. And they followed it all the way back and made, like, one of the biggest drug deal busts in history there.
Minority
Ohio.
Report.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something like that. And so then they were like, well, why don't we put this in every city over everything? People were like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then some people were like, hey,
right,
you can't do that.
Right. Remember that one thing?
Yeah, like, remember privacy and the idea of, like, always being surveillance and all this stuff? So they found a lot of tension in the communities where they wanted to test these out. And the majority of the people were like, yeah, this will make it safer. But there was a large percentage of people saying, this is not okay.
Right.
You cannot have this happen and blah, blah, blah. But I think if we do go to this crazy, you know, let's just say that Trump does become president and civil war and all this stuff breaks out, I think you're going to have those drone technologies, whether we like it or not, and you're going to see kind of those movie scenes come to life where you have, you know, Demolition Man, when they're like just surveying all the time and there's drones everywhere and you can't do it. I mean, you're always on camera.
Dude, I worry about like me and other comics, like when you're alone and you're talking shit and fucking around, dude, if some of that shit got out.
I know.
Dude,
oh, that's the thing. Comics have no timing when it comes to tragedy. Like, I've been in a green room many a times when something's happened and it's like, it's instant.
Yeah.
But you could never take that stuff. You can, but you got to wait. If you really wanted to have sick comics, be with them in a green room when tragedy hits. We have no filter.
Right, I know.
Yeah. No sense of timing.
No, don't take offense to anything.
No, yeah,
unless you're doing an alt room.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like the it's safety versus like rights. It's the same thing as like listening on a phone call.
Right.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you could use it to track bad guys, but then like, what's the next step after that? And I think we had invisible drones flying across the city. It's like, okay, somebody would be looking for drug deals, what's next?
Yeah, exactly. What is good and evil at that point? And on the same thing, you're talking about a ton of side businesses that would be started. Like, say you think your wife's cheating on you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I'm going to hire this fucking drone to see
where. Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, yeah, that shit's
crazy.
Yeah,
like anything is possible.
Oh, my God, an invisible drone that follows your mistress around?
Yeah, bro.
Dude.
It's a new season of Cheaters.
And I love that you said follows your mistress and not your wife. I guess there won't be more 5K runs.
Picked your last apple, Foster.
When we were talking about that, like the going for education and learning stuff now, if comedy doesn't work out, right?
Oh, and, God. Right, why would you even put that in the air?
If you could go to school, if you could go and get a degree and like it would take you like a couple of weeks or whatever, like what would your backup job be?
Realistically, like dream thing?
Dream thing.
You know what, dude, there's no way I could ever do it, but I've always been envious of like lawyers that know laws in and out.
Yeah, right.
And they're
just
fucking, you cannot fuck with them.
Right, yeah.
Like I have a buddy that's going through this legal thing right now and like he'll read me some of the letters that his lawyer sent to this other person. I'm just like, God, it's so dope, you know? But I remember my buddy used to be like a gopher for like a law firm. And I remember I'd go in there and I would walk to like the legal library that they had in the law firm. And I was just like, you've got to be shitting me.
Right.
I was like, there's no fucking way. Like, that they can, like, something triggers in your mind that you're like, oh, this is book 7 out of these thousands of books.
Right, yeah.
And,
right.
You know, I'm like, God, there's no, I would love to have that knowledge just at my fingertips to where, you know, a cop pulls you over, a cop's talking to you, and you just can just clown them with the knowledge.
Right, yeah.
Just spout off court cases and stuff. Yeah.
It also helps that I'm white, so I could, you know,
you
wouldn't
be
a black guy trying to do that. You know.
You can do that now.
It's a new series on Fox, Black Law.
A black dude would be like, I think the legal, boom. Just fucking
actually,
game
officer,
over.
Slam.
Case 19. What would you?
Realistically?
Yeah.
I'd probably go into radio.
Radio?
Or history teacher.
History teacher.
I think I'd enjoy both of those.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, radio, I think, is always like the comics, like fallback plan.
Yeah.
Especially with this smooth, sauntery voice.
Mm-hmm. I'd be an invisible drone pilot.
That's my Halloween outfit.
Spying on my mistresses.
I'd be hiring you as a lawyer. This guy Justin's cheating on his 5K girlfriend. All his mistresses.
No.
I'd be reporting it.
Today, boners of the morning.
Boners on the morning. It's a bony moony ship. I got a couple of news stories I'm going to do here. By the way, thank you for your service, Michael.
Oh, thanks,
we really
man.
appreciate that.
You can fuck all the way.
Michael Malone has a U.S. Army fucking trucker hat on.
Hey, man.
Where did you get that at?
I was presented this hat, thank you very much.
Oh, never mind.
By a 5-star general in Italy.
So shit.
Yes, in other words, suck it.
Damn.
Sick, yeah.
Wow. Oh, is it when you perform for the troops?
Yeah, man.
They give you a hat?
I
performed for the troops. All I got was this lousy hat.
All I got was this lousy hat. I did the mistake. I wore this in another country when we were on tour, and I didn't think anything because we were mostly on bases, but we were staying in this hotel in Austria, and I had this fucking hat on just going to the hotel, and I got a lot of mean mugging.
Did you get some looks?
I got some looks.
Did you play it back though?
But yeah, because I was like, motherfucker, I'm in the army.
I am the 5-star general.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just fucking saluting people and everything.
Quoting Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men.
Can't handle the
We got two shows tonight, 7 and 9. If you guys want some comp tickets.
Yeah.
I got a couple of news. One is this absolutely heartbreaking. One is kind of funny. And one is relative to what we were talking about. It's Halloween week. This is our... are you a big Halloween guy?
I always go with the least expensive outfit.
Okay.
I went one year. I went
registered
as the
voter.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I got mine for this year. No, I went one year. I went as Bounty? The guy, the lumberjack paper towel guy.
Oh, yeah.
Just wore like a plaid shirt like that, and I bought Bounty towels, and then 1 year I went as Brian Scalabrine from the Celtics. He's a fucking redheaded basketball player.
Okay.
And I just try and go with whatever. Oh, 1 year I went as the Denerix man. I just wore a robe and I took shaving cream, I put it in my hair and parted it down the middle. And just, the left side is tingling guy, you know? It's whatever I can just pay the least amount of money.
Right. Are you single?
Yeah.
This is Halloween is like the, besides like New Year's Eve, it's like the number one like hookup night. Yeah.
Good to know.
Because it's like, we've talked about on the show before, it's because you're not like the women, like they're not being, their character is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Their character. So if you get all the single people that listen to the show, go out and.
That wasn't me. That was Princess Leia blowing that guy.
Yeah. Right. I didn't cheat on you. Harley Quinn did.
Yeah. Well, I didn't cheat on you. I fucked Chewbacca.
What'd you guys go as last year?
What was I last year? Walter Wright, Breaking Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I was on the road, I think.
We get it. You're a working comic.
I was performing for the troops.
We get it.
We get it.
That's my favorite thing is you ask somebody, hey, what do you got coming up? And then so they start telling you, like, we get it. Jesus. Because they're like, dude, you fucking asked me.
I meant like this weekend.
So we were talking about the creepy clown epidemic a couple of episodes. Yeah. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
People that are playing as clowns, scaring people.
Yeah, some are running for president. It's terrifying.
It backfired the other day, you guys. It backfired the other news.
Yes.
Killer clown blown up after villagers chase him into a minefield.
Oh, did not know that.
Wait, holy, where was that?
Shit.
This is a U.S. 25-year-old student was at home in Cambodia visiting relatives. Decided to play dressed up as a clown, grabbed a machete,
fucking idiot,
scared the people. They chased him. He kept running, and moments later, they heard explosions. Landmines are a large problem in Cambodia after 3 decades of war. The kid got scared because they were chasing him, ran into a field, and blew up.
Holy
shit. You just
hear
this fucking nose go, meow, as it blows up.
I thought you were going to talk about the Batman thing. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah, I see.
There's a guy dressing up like Batman that's chasing down these clowns.
Because that's scaring hilarious. The kids.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's fucking great.
That's really funny.
Until somebody shoots Batman.
Yeah. Like, until Batman dies, yeah. So this second news story that I found this week is, this is in Seattle. This is your a robbery suspect tells police he has a good reason why he is stabbing people. You guys, a homeless man in Seattle who is accused of stabbing two people and holding another up at knife point told the arresting officer he planned to attack more people and stab people every day, once a day, because it is better than doing crystal meth.
What?
That's his reasoning.
That's his new high.
Yep.
Motive?
He's trying to get off crystal meth, so in lieu of that.
Help an addict out. I'm okay.
Right.
What the fuck?
He was easy to identify, the two people that stabbed him, because he was his facial tattoos. He had devil horn on his forehead and bolts on his cheeks.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
You know?
He had a... Did he identify? He kept showing people his 3-year chip. Bragging about it.
And the last one is so heartbreaking. So I'm just going to read the title of it. Woman has Disney engagement photo shoot alone after her husband breaks up with her.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
No.
Yes. Happiest place on earth, baby.
Yes.
Oh,
I love it.
So Brooke Lowry had booked a cutesy couple engagement shoot at Disneyland with her fiance to celebrate. After they call it off, she decided to go and do the photo shoot by herself.
Oh my God.
Lori, who used to work for Disney Television Animation, decided that doing the shoot and getting all dressed up in the happiest place on earth was just what she needed to feel good about herself as a newly single woman.
Wow.
Her wedding song is "It's a Small World After All." Just fucking crying.
Crying, yeah. After all.
I felt uneasy, but I also felt empowered. I thought of the Disney Princess commercial that used that quote, "I am brave even when I am scared."
Oh my God.
I wanted to document this massive transition in my life. It was definitely a milestone, just not the one I thought it was going to be. And saddest pictures that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, where can those pictures, where can people see those pictures?
Fosterthepodcast.com. I'm going to put them up on this week's episode notes. But there's a part of me that's like, oh, that's kind of like empowering that she went ahead and did it. But there's part of me like, that might be why you're single.
Yeah.
You're quoting Disney quotes. You want to photo shoot at Disneyland. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, the guy's like, It's like, can we just go to a church?
Right,
right, right.
This fucking wedding's off.
Jasmine doesn't get married in a church.
Yeah. Right, she's right, the type of chick that goes around the house. Right. Wanting to be treated like a princess at all times.
Yeah, and I think the candlesticks are singing. And
oh, my God. So we're almost out of time here. Mike, do you want to talk? What are you looking up?
I'm looking up the Berenstain Bears. I was going to try and, like, you know, close with some facts.
Pull it up.
About the conspiracy.
That's hilarious.
I love it. You can't have a conspiracy when you have a bunch of cartoon bears eating dinner.
Turns out some people think this porridge was too hot. Some think it was just right.
That is crazy, though, that it just, at some point, it switched.
Yeah. Do you remember it being Berenstain Bears with an E and not Bernstein Bears with an A? If you do, you're not alone. There are many who remember it this way. In fact, there are so many Berenstain Bear believers that people in the know will cite that as proof in the glitch in the Matrix. Yeah. This is on Vice, so you know it's real.
It's got to be real.
Oh,
it's
on Vice.
Yeah.
Vice is the best. That's where I watch a lot.
Vice is where you
did
you
see the
shit.
Vice one about the zombie drug?
No.
Dude, this is. Did you see that one? That was the most terrifying thing.
What is it?
Was it in Brazil?
Russia.
Was it? Crocodile? No. That's my buddy thought it was crocodile. No, this is. I think it was Brazil. There's this like plant. I think it's in Brazil that grows that. It you like get this powder. And you can touch somebody with it, or you go, and if they breathe in just a little bit of it, they stay conscious, but they will submit to any suggestions you give them. And then they don't remember. And
That's a Spanish fly. Yeah.
A little Cosby.
I bought that at a gas station.
Dude, but it was so they went to Brazil to find this shit, and they had this guy that was like a fucking tweaker that knew where it was. And like, if you just like smell
a little
bit.
Yeah, there's always one guy.
If you just smell a little bit or get it on you, like you will fall under to where somebody can just like, so people would suggest, hey, Justin, why don't you go to your ATM, take out all your money and give it to me. And on the camera, they just show, it'll just show a guy going to his ATM, taking out money.
Taking out
and
50 bucks.
No
and,
way.
Yeah. And so they found this like tweaker that he brings it. It's like it looks like cocaine, but he opens up this little piece of paper. It's there. And the guy's freaking out. He's just like, and he's like shaking it. And they're like, dude, what the fuck? He goes, no, it's fine. So they had it, and they were holding on to it while they interviewed all these different people. They interviewed this guy that they blurred out his face, and he said, yeah, I was in a nightclub, and these girls were dancing. And there was a different girl that they interviewed that talked about how they would do this to guys all the time and take their money.
Holy
but this
shit.
Guy, he was like, I was at a dance club, and yeah, these girls took me for all my money. And he goes, but I found out who it was, and people didn't know I used to be a really bad guy. He goes, so I hired some guys and they had some fun with those girls and then fucking killed them.
Holy shit.
It was like the most terrifying thing.
Jesus.
And so these guys, the stuff they had, they were like, we don't want to do this. So they just flushed it down the toilet. But it was like, yeah, it's on, I forget what it was. I think it's like called the zombie drug or something. It was terrifying.
Yeah, that's another like slippery slope.
Holy shit, yeah. Dude. What's that called?
I forget the name of it, but I think the episode is like just look up, it's not crocodile, but it was like, and I think it was in Brazil, but I think it was like zombie drug or something like that on Vice. It's on their YouTube channel.
Dude, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Could you imagine all the club owners that you blow that on? Like, book me.
Yeah. I'm here every weekend. Flight and hotel.
He's no longer featuring anymore. He's headlining.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck, man. Yeah, dude, it's so crazy.
Oh, my God. What do you got coming up, Jay?
Let me see. Next Wednesday, I'm at the Laugh Factory.
We get it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the only thing worth plugging right now. You know.
Wednesday at the Laugh Factory. Yeah. And how can people find you?
Big Irish J on everything. My website's Big Irish J, J-A-Y. Big Irish J on all social media.
Dude, so. Well, thanks for coming
thanks
on.
Thanks for
man.
Having
appreciate
me.
It. Malone, how can people find you?
Everything's at MaloneComedy.com. And you can check out my podcast, Punched Up. Podcast.com.
What's that one about?
It's like a storyteller's thing. So it's like a radio lab, but only with comics. So they come on, they tell a story, and I add music and sound effects and kind of like bring these stories to life. They're like only 15 minutes long, so they're
very
easy
cool.
to binge on.
Check out Punch Up. Check out me, Justin Comic, on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, and also for our show. Subscribe to Foster the Podcast on iTunes. visit fosterthepodcast.com. We'll throw up some of the pictures of the sad wedding shoe. We'll throw up Mike's
Berenstain Bears.
Berenstain Bears conspiracy theory. Fosterthepodcast.com, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.